Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series in the Gospel according to Mark, who was written by John Mark. Ayan, just to make that clear. Okay? Last week po, nakita po natin na si Jesus ay muling nagpamalas ng mga milagro. Dalawang beses niya ipinamalas ang mga himala sa pamamagitan po ng pagpapagaling at ng pagpapakain. Una po, napakita po natin kung paano niya miraculously how he fed 4,000 people. Again, this is a repeated miracle. Again, just to make a point na kung saan na it's a sign that communicates hindi lamang sa buong tao, kundi sa mga disciples, na siya ang sinasabing Messiah. Another miracle na nakita natin last week is yung healing mismo ng mamang bulag. Now, both of these signs were given to the disciples in order for them to see and understand who Jesus really is. At last week, iniwan natin ang mga disciples na medyo hindi pa ganun kasigurado and still they do not get it, no? Ika nga. Hindi pa rin nila lubusan naunawaan kung sino si Jesus Christ. Sa passage natin ngayong gabi, malalaman natin kung si Peter at ang kanyang mga kasamahan na disciples ay mauunawaan na kung sino siya at ano ang nakalakip sa pag-follow kay Jesus Christ. So the question we have tonight is, paano ba maging isang tunay na follower ni Jesus? Is there a cost in following Jesus? Ito po ang aking panalangin ngayong gabi, na sa ating pag-aaralan, na makita natin kung ano talaga ang nakalakip sa pagiging disciple ni Jesus. What does it mean to become a follower of the Messiah? Because a true disciple of Jesus in this fallen world involves confessing and following Christ, whatever the cost. A true disciple of Jesus in a fallen world involves confessing and following Christ, whatever the cost. Again, we have 2 points muli ngayong gabi. Number one, the confession of a follower of Jesus, verses 27 hanggang 33 and chapter 8. And number two, the cost of following Jesus, chapter 8, 34, hanggang chapter 9, verse 1. Number 1, the confession. The confession of a follower of Jesus. Ang chapter 8, verse 27 po hanggang 30, ay ang tinatawag na simula ng ikalawang bahagi ng Gospel of Mark, o yung libro ni Mark. Ito yung tinatawag na turning point ng buhay ng mga disciples ni Jesus Christ. Ang pagbukas ng mga mata ng mamang bulag sa nakita natin sa verses 23 to 25 last week symbolizes and even anticipates yung pagbukas ng mga spiritual na mata or understanding ng mga disciples si Jesus. Pagkabukas ng kanilang mga mata upang makita ang tunay na nature ng messiahship ni Jesus. Lahat ng mga miraculous healing, casting out evil spirits, feeding of thousands of people, manipulating the laws of nature, lahat po yan ay pointers. At ngayon, unti-unti nang nauunawaan ng mga disciples kung sino ba talaga itong Jesus na ito. Kaya habang naglalakad sila papunta sa baryo ng Caesarea or villages ng Caesarea, Jesus asked his disciples a two-part question. At ano po yung unang question? Tingnan natin sa verse 27. Excuse me. Who do people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets. Tinanong ni Jesus kung ano ba ang pagkakilala ng mga tao sa kanyang mga disciples. Agad-agad naman sinagot ng mga disciples ni Jesus, ang mga popular na opinion galing sa mga tao nung panahon na yon. Si John the Baptist daw, na kung saan nag-transmigrate, it's a term na kung saan nung namatay si John, yung kaluluwa mismo ni John the Baptist ay mismo pumunta sa katawan ni Jesus, yun yung transmigrate. So baka si John the Baptist ito na nabuhay muli sa katawan ni Jesus. Sa iba naman, sinabi si Elijah, they mention an Old Testament prophet na kung saan sikat, na kung saan na according sa Malachi 3 at saka Malachi 4 tells us na muling mabubuhay si Malachi. So people are saying, one of the popular opinions is, buhay na siguro si Elijah at sa pangangatawan mismo ni Jesus. Well, some say is one of those Old Testament prophets. In short, ang tingin nila kay Jesus ay on par sa mga Old Testament prophets. Kung mapapansin ninyo, lahat ng mga tao ay may mga kanya-kanyang opinyon patungkol kay Jesus sa panahon na ito. Walang tao ang walang opinyon. Napansin niyo ba? But all of these opinions about Jesus are inadequate and even inaccurate. Hindi pumasok sa isipan ng mga tao noong panahon na yon na ang Jewish Messiah, anak ng Diyos, ay si Jesus. Wala hong dumaple sa isipan nila ultimo sa mga disciples. Dalawang beses lamang tumama sa inaral natin sa mga passages na nabunyag ang tunay na nature ni Jesus. Matatagpuan po yun sa Mark chapter 1 verse 1. Sa Mark chapter 1 verse 11, which is yung baptism ni Jesus Christ, na may narinig siyang boses from heaven, which is the God the Father, at eto ang sinabi niya. So verse 11, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Yun yung unang accurate claims about Jesus. Yung pangalawa naman ay galing ho sa mga labi ng mga demonyo, which is a person who has been possessed by an evil spirit. At matatagpuan po yun sa Mark chapter 1 verse 24. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Pwede pa yung mga masamang espiritu, nakuha kung sino si Jesus, ano? Pero yung mga disciples at yung mga tao noong time na yun, hindi nila nakita. So walang tao ang walang opinion patungkol kay Jesus. But all of these popular opinions na meron ng panahon ni Jesus ay lahat ay mali. At yun ang pagkakasabi ng mga disciples kay Jesus mismo. Now what's interesting ay wala masyadong nagbago sa panahon natin ngayon. Hindi nyo pa nababansin? Karamihan ng tao sa buong mundo ay kanya-kanyang opinyon patungkol kay Jesus. Walang-walang opinyon ang tao patungkol kay Jesus. Nung nag-research ako sa Google under the name Jesus, sa time na chinek ko, I got an overwhelming 904 million results or links that all of these talk about Jesus. Of course, there are a lot of popular opinions about Jesus' identity from everyone, including po yung mga people that are known, people who are respected, and people who are admired. Which sadly, karamihan doon ay mali. Mahatma Gandhi, sabi niya, "Jesus is a man who was completely innocent, offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others." John Lennon, the late John Lennon, sa mga kabanda ng mga Beatles, sabi niya, "I believe that what people call God is something in all of us. I believe that what Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest said was right. It's just that the translations have gone wrong." The Dalai Lama, ito po ang sinabi, "Jesus Christ also lived previous lives. He reached a high state, an enlightened person, through Buddhist practice or something like that. Then at a certain period, certain era, he appeared as a new master," according sa Dalai Lama. Richard Dawkins, isa sa mga kilalang matatalinong tao sa ating panahon, "Jesus had himself tortured and executed for a symbolic sin by a non-existent individual." In short, Jesus is just a myth. Of course, meron din tayong kilala nating si Apollo Kiboloy, na kung saan ang sinabi niya, "I am the anointed son of God." Talo lahat sila ron, no? Sa claims na yon. Ito po ang mga popular opinion at napakarami pa. Yung iba sinabi tao lang, yung iba ay sabi Diyos lang, yung iba ay parang katang-isip lamang. So maraming hong mga opinion. Sinabi iba, hindi namatay sa krus si Jesus Christ. In fact, nagtago at pumunta sa Japan. Actually, it's funny, pero yun yung may mga certain paniniwala ko nababasa na ganun. While some say si Jesus ay nagkapamilya, kaya nung siya ay mamamatay, isa sa mga disciples niya mismo ang pinadala sa krus. So, may mga paniniwala na ganun. Mga kaibigan, ang tanong po natin ngayong gabi, saan nakabase ang paniniwala mo kay Kristo? Saan nakabase? Ang paniniwala mo ba kay Jesus ay nakabase lamang sa mga popular na opinyon ng mga sikat at maimpluwensang tao? Ang basihan ba ng paniniwala mo kay Jesus ay galing sa tao na kung saan may maimpluwensyal sa buhay mo? Friends, is the Jesus you know, the Jesus of who the Bible says He is? Or is He just the Jesus that famous influencers at TikTok or YouTube described? Friends, popular opinion is an unhealthy source to spiritual truth. Hindi po lahat ng popular na libro, popular na blogs, popular na vlogs, popular na YouTube preacher speak spiritual truths. We look at God's Word for spiritual truths. Yan po ang ating basihan. We look to God's Word, the Bible. Of course, may mga magaganda po at mga mahuhusay na resources or libro or website patungkol po kay Kristo na we would recommend, that I would recommend, but all of them are supplemental lamang and should not replace God's complete and final revelation to man, which is yung Bible. Dapat hindi po pinapalitan ng mga materials or resources na ito ang mismong salita ng Diyos. Ito po ang ating basihan. Mga kaibigan, if you are like me, na kung saan mahilig magbasa ng mga Christian materials, if you're reading a lot of Christian materials or books, but not reading your Bible, I encourage you na ibaba niyo muna yung mga resources din and go back to the Bible. From asking His disciples the popular opinion of the masses about Him, He now directs the question to them, sa mga disciples. Verse 29. And He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Ito po muna tayo dyan. Ang paggamit ni Jesus ng pronoun na you o ikaw ay yung tinatawag nilang emphatic or emphatic. Ano po ibig sabihin na ito? Ito po ay ang nagbibigay ng diin at kahulugan sa tanong mismo ni Jesus. Yung personal pronoun na you. Okay? The question now changes from general consensus to personal probing. Yung po yung diin na yon. Oh, kamusaan sinasabi nila? Ay, kayo. Kayo. It's more of a personal approach. Yung tone niya mas personal pa doon. Kumbaga, ito yung sinasabi niya. Sige, kalimutan niyo na ang sinasabi ng ibang tao patungkol sa akin. Ayon sa inyo na nasaksihan ninyo ang lahat ng milagro, ayon sa inyo na nakasama ko na ng matagal na, ayon sa inyo na malapit sa akin, ayon sa inyo na kusang kasama ko matulog, kasama ko kumain, nakikipagkwentuhan sa akin halos araw-araw, nakikipagbiruan, nakikipagtawanan. Kayo, nakasama ko sa hirap, sa inyo, ang mga kaibigan na pinagkakatiwalaan ko kumpara sa mga tao na ito na hindi ako kilala, sino ako? Do you see how personal that got? How about you? Sabi ni Jesus Christ, who do you think I am? Hindi ko tinatanong ibang tao, kayo. Verse 29, ang sagot. Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. Now Matthew gives a more explicit answer, or mas may detail. Sabi sa Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus even, sa Matthew 16 and following verses, said, hindi yan galing sa iyo, hindi yan galing sa edukasyon mo, hindi yan galing sa karanasan mo, hindi yan galing sa magaling mong perception, galing yan sa Diyos Ama na nireveal sa iyo. Galing yan sa Diyos Ama. Tama ang sagot ni Peter dito. And his answer represents all of the disciples. Kasi yun naman si Peter eh. Si Peter yung pinaka-spokesperson ng mga disciples. Kung ano yung mga napag-uusapan nila, pinag-aagrihan nila. Siya mismo yung magsasabi kahit magaspang yung pagkakasabi niya. Without even thinking, making a lot of thought, basta sasabihin niya, that's him. So he's very impulsive, he's very bold. And he said, "You are the Christ. Yun ang sinabi niya, kaya tumama siya ron. Ang identity ni Jesus sa Gospel of Mark ay ang pinaka-central focus ng libro. Kaya yun po yung title mismo ng libro na ito at matatagpuan sa Mark chapter 1 verse 1. Kung babasahin natin. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yan po yung title ng libro kasi si Jesus ang pinaka-focus. Christ, ano ibig sabihin ng Christ? Kasi yun yung claim ni Peter. Christ is a Greek word translated from the Hebrew na ang tawag ay Messiah. Messiah. Messiah means anointed one. Ginagamit ang salitang ito of anyone who was anointed with the holy oil ng Old Testament. Gaya po ng mga priests and prophets and even kings sa Israel. It conveys the idea of chosenness. Pinili ka. Pinili ka. Binasbasan ka, pinuspusan ka ng banal na espiritu, binigyan ka ng kapangyarihan para gawin ang mga task na ipinagkaloob sa iyo. Kaya kapag ang mga kings sa Old Testament were anointed by oil, it is a sign that they have the Holy Spirit and was chosen and empowered by God to accomplish the task assigned to Him. Towards the end of the Old Testament, ang salitang anointed or Messiah ay may special na kahulugan or meaning. It means that a greater king from the line of King David is anointed and empowered by God to deliver His people and establish His righteous kingdom. Yun po ang ibig sabihin ng anointed and Messiah nung towards the end of the Old Testament, that there is a greater king, greater than David, who will deliver and lead and rule over His people. Makikita po niya sa Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 hanggang verse 26. Makikita niyo rin po yan sa binasa ni Kuya Dexter kanina sa Psalm chapter 2, verses 6 hanggang 11, which describes the coming greater king. Friends, itong greater king na ito, itong Messiah na ito, is si Jesus Christ. Kaya kapag sinasabi natin, Jesus Christ, hindi po Christ yung apelido niya. Hindi yung first name Jesus, last name Christ. No, hindi po. Christ is a title. Okay? Title po sa kanya. Jesus the Anointed One. Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Promised Deliverer. Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Yung po ibig sabihin ng Christ. It's a title, hindi ho last name ni Jesus. Friends, the question that I have for you tonight, or one of the many questions I've been asking, and here's another one para sa atin, who do you say Jesus is? Sa inyo, sino si Jesus? Is He the cosmic vending machine? Is He the genie na kapag may kailangan ka lang, irarub mo lang yung lamp? Who is Jesus sa inyo kapag may kailangan lang kayo? Or is He your king? Is He your anointed king, your ruler na kung saan you submit and obey? And if that is true, do your lives reflect that your king is Jesus? Napakahalaga po na makuha natin ang tamang kasagutan sa tanong na ito dahil po mahalaga ito sa saving faith. Dahil mahalaga po ito sa inyong eternal na kalagayan. Jesus is the anointed king. He is the Messiah. He came to rescue His people. But in what way will this Messiah, this Jewish Messiah, rescue His people? Sa paanong paraan? Well, sinagot yan sa verses 31 hanggang 38. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And He said this plainly and Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. Nakita na ni Peter si Jesus as the Christ. Ngunit parang po yung mamang bulag na napag-aralan natin last week, kailangan pa pong i-correct ni Jesus yung kanyang pananaw patungkol sa kanya o paningin. Para sa isang first century Jew, ang inaabangan po nilang Jewish Messiah ay isang malaking David na type of a ruler who will set them free from Roman captivity. Yun po yung inaasahan nila na darating na Messiah. They were expecting a conquering Messiah and not a suffering Messiah. They're not expecting a suffering Messiah. It will be a complete humiliation sa Jewish nation having a Jewish Messiah na napako sa krus, which communicates weakness, which communicates humiliation, which communicates defeat. Kaya ayaw nila yung idea ng Jewish Messiah na suffering. Kaya ganun na lang ang rebuke ni Peter sa kanya. Sinasabi na ikaw yung ano, yung mamamatay. Ikaw yung Christ, hindi ka mamamatay. Yung tirada ni Peter, di kasi he pulled him on the side eh. Nirebuke na si Jesus, kinurek na si Jesus. Nung panahon na yun, ang cross kasi ay hindi isang religious symbol or an ornament na dinadagdag sa ating hikaw o sa ating kwintas o sing-sing. It is a symbol of great shame. It is a symbol of death. Mga kriminal lang ang binibitin sa cross na ito. Bukod na ito ay isang kapapamaraanan to carry out yung death sentence. Ang dahilan kaya po ito ay nakabitin sa krus ay upang makita ito ng lahat. Upang makita ng lahat, to be made spectacle, to shame him, at para magsilbing example sa lahat para hindi siya sundan. Now, bakit ang krus ang ginamit ni Jesus? Wala bang ibang kapamamaraanan, Pastor, bukod sa krus? For him to fulfill his messiahship, wala bang ibang paraan? Ito po ang sagot. Meron. Meron ibang pamamaraan. Okay? Now, some of you probably are raising your eyebrow. Bakit meron pa bang iba? Oh, meron ho ibang pamamaraan. At ito po yung kapamamaraanan ni Satan. Let me explain. Sa Matthew chapter 4, ano ang sinabi? At saka sa Mark chapter 1, Satan offered something kay Jesus. He offered Jesus a way out of the cross. Binigyan siya ng option ng Diablo na hindi mo na kailangan pumunta ng cross. You don't need to go to the cross to be a king. You don't need to go to the cross to be the Messiah of the world. I will make you the kings of all kings ng world na ito. Just worship me. Ano naman natin matatagpuan yung sinabi mo, Pastor? Well, verse 4, ng verse 8 to 9 ng Matthew chapter 4. Let me read it to you. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, all these I will give you. In short, all of these they will bow to you as their king. If you will fall down and worship me. Yun ang way out of the cross. It's another way to be a king. That's another way to be a Messiah without suffering. There is another way for Jesus to be a Messiah, and it's not according to God's plan, and it's according to Satan's plan, which is demonic, worldly, rebellious, and against sa kalooban ng Panginoon. That's why Jesus, when he heard Peter rebuking him, immediately knows kung saan galing yon. Peter intentionally hinila ni Jesus sa harapan ng disciples and rebuked him sa verse 33. Get thee behind me, Satan. Dahil marahil ito din, bakit nilagay pa sa harapan ng disciples at nirebuke? Dahil marahil ito rin ang nasa looban ng mga disciples. Remember, Peter is the spokesman. Jesus recognizes this demonic gospel. The only way that the Messiah will save his people and give God glory is through the suffering of the cross. He conquered through the cross, where he bore our sin and our shame. He took the full wrath of God's judgment sa kanyang sarili and atoned us from our sins. Jesus died for his people in order to save them and won the victory over sin, death, and Satan when he rose from the grave on the third day. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is when somebody say, Jesus is the Christ, yun yung Jesus ng Bible, who suffered for our sins and saved us through, that means, the cross. Friends, this is what it means to confess Christ This is what it means to confess that Jesus is Christ. We must first believe that His death on the cross is the only way for the forgiveness of sins, for us to be reconciled to God the Father, and to have eternal life. Kailangan natin paniwalaan. Yun yung Jesus ng Bible. God became flesh and died for our sins. Friends, there are preachers that will offer another gospel message. That is, of course, no other gospel, pero ang tinatawag nila sa mensahe nila ay ang gospel. A gospel that promises life, happiness, contentment, health, wealth, satisfaction, peace, friendships, relationships, all of this without the cross. If you hear a gospel presentation that promises all of these without the cross, that is no gospel at all. Takbuhan nyo na po. Maririnig yan madalas sa mga prosperity gospel preaching preachers. Yayaman ka, gagaling ka, magiging successful ka, magbigay ka lang. Maging tapat ka lang sa iglesia na ito. Magtulungan lang kayo at God will bless you without the cross. Friends, the gospel message dyan, ang tawag dyan, is demonic. That is demonic. And we, like Jesus, kailangan ma-discern natin kagad yun. Of course, pag may nagtuturo kayong kaibigan na ganyan, kung sabi, God did behind the Satan, naman ganun eh, no? Alam mo, blessing ng Panginoon, ha, kung sabi niyo kapatid, get thee behind me. Ay, talagang magkakamali naman sila ng pag-uunawa sa atin. There's a way to say that with love. Okay? Because the gospel message that we have is a gospel that comes out from the heart of God, which is love. Truth and grace, kapatid. Truth and grace. Truth and grace. Being a follower of Jesus is by grace. God seeing God for who He really is and then confessing Jesus as Christ, the only Messiah who can save sinners. Okay? But there is a cost to following Jesus. So, Pastor, ano pong involve sa pagsunod kay Kristo? Well, yan po yung number two at huling part natin. The cost of following Christ or Jesus. Jesus won His victory through His suffering, and those who follow Him should do the same. Verse 34 and 38, and calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to him, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Sa section po na ito, John Mark wrote this to encourage Roman Christians na nagbabasa po na ito. Bakit kasi sila nasa Rome, they're Roman Christians, they are familiar with Roman law, kaya madalas ginagamit ni Paul Mark dito yon. They're going through pain and hardship dahil sa pag-follow nila kay Jesus Christ. They are suffering right now. They are in pain because they're following Christ. And Mark here is encouraging him, saying them, mga kapatid, ito yung sinasabi ni Mark sa kanyang mga readers, first readers. Yung nararanasin ninyo ngayon ay normal sa isang tunay na tagasunod ni Kristo. Yung nararanasan nyo ngayon, if you are a true follower of Christ, yung nararanasan nyo ngayon is normal. He's encouraging them. Because marami hong naniniwala na kung saan ko ang mali ang Diyos mo, kung mali ang reliyon mo, kung pagpuro na lang suffering yung nararanasan mo. Tama ang reliyon mo kapag punong-puno ng pagpapala at kasiyahan. Mali po yun. Jesus Christ suffered for us to enter His eternal joy. Yun yung inaasahan natin. That gives us hope. That eternal future grace is giving us sufficient grace now. Does that make sense? Tinanong ko kanina kung what is involved in following Jesus. Ang short answer po dito is this. Suffering. Suffering. Kung tayo po ay magiging masugid na follower ni Jesus, may demands na hinihingi sa atin, and that is radical obedience. So Jesus in verses 34 hanggang chapter 9 verse 1 addresses the crowd na di lang sa kanyang mga disciple, which means yung requirements na dinidemand ni Jesus ay hindi lang sa kanyang disciples, kundi sa lahat ng mga Christians on time noon at sa panahon natin ngayon. And let me break it down into three points. Number one, deny yourself. Verse 34, deny yourself. Ano ibig sabihin po nito? It means to renounce self. Ano ibig sabihin ng renounce? Renounce means abandoning oneself, claim or right. Renounce yourself. Ang ibig sabihin po nito ay to stop making ourselves the center of our lives. Or worse, making ourselves the center of someone else's life. Dapat itigilan natin ang kahibangan na umiikot ang mundo sa atin, na lahat dapat ng atensyon ay sa atin. We make ourselves the center of our marriages. We make ourselves the center of our parenting. It's all about me sa marriage. It's all about me sa parenting. We make ourselves the center of our finances. We make ourselves the center of our plans and dreams, our friendships, our future. We make ourselves at the center of everything sa ating buhay. But we must remind us that it's all about God and not about us. God should be at the center of our marriages. God should be at the center of our careers. God should be at the center of our health and hobbies and in our relationships and friendships. God should be at the center of our plans and our future. It's not about us and making a name. It's all about Christ and His fame. Friends, to follow Christ, we must stop living for ourselves. Since si Jesus ang master na natin ngayon, dapat siya lamang ang ating paglingkuran. Friends, what self-centered plans, habits, conveniences, lifestyles that you need to renounce or abandon in order for you to start living for Christ, in order to make Him at the center ng iyong life. Second, take up your cross. Take up your cross, verse 34c. The picture of the cross means, ito ibig sabihin ng cross, no, rejection, humiliation, suffering, and death. Yun po ibig sabihin po ng cross. So when Jesus says, take up your cross, nakalakip lahat yon sa pagiging buhay Kristiyano. Okay? So Jesus is the Christ and the master of our lives, then we should suffer. Kung siya mismo ang master, ganun din mangyayari sa kanyang studio. Yun po ang sinabi niya sa Matthew 10:24. Sabi ni Jesus, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. In short, kung ang master ay nagsuffer, ganun din ang kanyang servant. So this means to deny ourselves whatever the cost. To follow Jesus will cost us, will hurt us. Mararamdaman po natin yon. It could mean going to a foreign land and proclaiming the gospel by planting a church, maybe. Or supporting a church plant. That's why ang ginagawa po natin every week, we pray sa ating pastoral prayers, yung mga unreached people group. That's a great thing, but do you think the Lord is calling you to go to unreached people groups or least reached people groups? Young people, have you ever prayed that? Have you ever prayed for those people in a different land or even in the Philippines? Have you ever prayed for them that the Lord would bring the gospel to them at ikaw ang gagamitin? Have you ever prayed for that? Have you started to desire that? Could you pray for that? Could you seek the Lord with that? It could mean being rejected, ridiculed, and made fun of by friends, colleagues, and even family members because of Christ. Dahil sa paniniwala mo sa Kanya. Si Peter at John, yung sons of Zebedee, itong magkapatid na ito, gave up their fishing business. Si Matthew naman, sinuko po niya yung good-paying job niya na pag-tax collecting, no? The disciples left everything according to Matthew chapter 19. Paul turned away a life of prestige and fame and riches for the sake of Christ. Sabi niya sa Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Friends, are you suffering right now because you are faithful to Christ? If you're not suffering for Christ, then what are you suffering for? The Bible says, rejoice if you're a Christian who's suffering. Bakit ka mo? Because you have been counted worthy to suffer with Christ. Sabi sa Acts chapter 5, verse 41, after ni Peter at mga disciples na bugbog dahil sineshare nila ang gospel, nirebuke sila ng Sanhedrin at gilulpe, itong reaction nila. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer this honor for the name. Kaninong name kay Jesus? 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 to 16. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests in you. Verse 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Friends, if you are suffering because of Jesus, praise God. Third, follow me. Verse 34d, mga kaibigan, kung meron man tayong kailangan i-follow, no? Hindi po yung mga nakikita nating mga sikat sa online. Of course, there are some people who's worth following, pero kung meron man number one tayo na ifa-follow, is that's Jesus Christ. Follow His footstep. Si Peter followed Jesus well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for this you have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His footstep. Peter followed Jesus well in his living and even in his dying. It was mentioned that he died also on a cross. And it was also mentioned, but he feels unworthy to die the same as his Savior, so pinabaliktad yung cross na kung saan siya pinako. He finished well. Follow Christ also, church, is to love and pursue one another. If we love Christ, if we are a follower of Christ, we pursue one another. One of the things na mapapansin natin sa Book of Mark, sa Gospels, is yung mga stops ni Jesus. You know, stops. May hahawak sa kanya na may sakit, papagalingin niya. May mga tao na hingi ng tulong, tutulungan niya. Papunta siya sa isang lugar, papunta sa Samaria, huminto siya, may isang babae, kinuha niya. The stops of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is willing to be inconvenienced. Friends, are you willing to be inconvenienced? Kasi that's a mark na isang tagasunod ni Jesus. I know in this room, mga members ng church, and even those na wala rito, who are suffering because of Christ. And God can use you as a means of encouragement para sa mga kapatiran na ito. I encourage you this week, be inconvenienced. Be awkward. Diba sa Crossroads, we are resolved to be awkward so that we could encourage people with God's Word and point them to Christ. Those who truly follow Jesus will also be blessed. Kasi those who follow Jesus Christ, according to verse 35, will have abundant life that will last for eternity. The only thing that will matter in this life is eternity. At ang mga ginawa natin in Jesus' name will last for eternity. At yun ang aalalahanin ng Panginoon. British missionary to China sa 1800s once said, only one life will soon be passed and only what's done for Christ will last. C.T. Studd. Punta tayo sa chapter 9, verse 1. Sa chapter 9, verse 1, medyo controversial itong verse na to. Some say it's a reference sa second coming ni Jesus. Pero many scholars believe na nilagay ni Mark ito as a transition sa transfiguration, which is yun ang pag-aaralan natin next week. Sa magaganap na verses, ano? Maaring ang yung ibang nabanggit na there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. This probably means it's pointing towards the three disciples of Jesus Christ na makakasama niya sa transfiguration. Okay? Kasi doon yung sa Mount of Transfiguration, they will witness Jesus' power and glory momentarily as He unveils momentarily yung kanyang sarili. And aaralin po natin yon. Ginawa yon before their violent death. And I think that is the purpose of Mark. Kasi itong mga mama na ito were violently killed and died. And maybe showing a glimpse of God's glory nung time na yon would serve as an encouragement to them as they go through suffering. Friends, we are not sure why Mark inilagay ito, pero yun po ang nakikita natin. As for us, if we claim to confess Jesus as Christ, we must understand and be prepared that there is a cost. Kasi to follow Jesus will always involve rejection and suffering. According kay David Platt sa kanyang libro na Radical, he says, radical obedience to Christ is not easy. It's not comfort, not health, not wealth, and not prosperity in this world. Radical obedience to Christ risks losing all these things, but in the end, such risk finds its reward in Christ. And He is more than enough for us. Such risk finds its reward in Christ. A true disciple of Jesus in a fallen world involves confessing and following Christ, whatever the cost. Let's pray. Father, we pray for brothers and sisters here who are probably suffering. May You give them fresh eyes to see Christ and His glory. May You help them to behold the wonders and majesties of Christ. We pray for brothers and sisters who are suffering and probably asking questions. May You provide comfort that only the Holy Spirit through the Word can provide. Would You, dito kami, mga taga-crossroads, help us to be inconvenienced this week, or even mamaya if some of us are going to the mall, would You cause us to be inconvenienced and to follow Jesus by ministering, allowing ourselves to stop and minister to brothers and sisters who are hurting. I pray, Father, in this journey na to na called Christian life, dalayin ko, Panginoon, that we would link arms and march together as we see You closely one day, face to face. Na yun po magiging reward namin. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.